enthroned on the praises of your people. Lord, we agree in unity. This is your house,
Father, come and dwell.
Oh Lord,
this is your house.
This is your house,
a holy house of prayer,
where the Lord's heaven only
bring their burdens and their care. This is your house.
This is your house. And mercy, let healing and redemption find searching souls. Lord, have your way.
Brought to you by Run of Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. We have this morning to help us do so is our very own Deacon Eric Reed. Welcome, and just thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Let's get started so we can go on with this service. I'm going to start off with our proclamation, which reads, we proclaim that Jesus the King preexisted as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. Okay, that's our proclamation, and I'm going to read a little bit of Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. We all know that Christ is risen, so I'm going to refresh your memory on that. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the stripes of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. That was Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. We're going to do a small prayer, and then we're going to continue our services. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and priest word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. So, dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen, my good brothers and sisters.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Deacon Reed. We appreciate you. Have a beautiful day.
You do as well, and peace and love to everyone.
Peace and love.
All right. Now that we
have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you in my secret place. Yeah, for you are my everything. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. For all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, somewhere you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify that you are my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, you're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. All understanding, you calm my mind, just like you calm the sea. You're my hope, you're my dreams, you're my vision. Yeah. You're my life, you're my strength, you're everything to me. That's why I gotta give your name the praise. Lord, you are. You are everything. Jesus' name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on, here we go. Magnify. Sing it. Come on. Set. Clap your hands.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. You know our hearts have been truly moved and encouraged. We thank you. You always take us there. Thank you. Which takes us time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. So following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own, Sister Petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Just fight a little longer, my friend. It's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, hold on and I'll find you, I'll find you, I'll find you. Just hold on and I'll find you.
I'm hanging on by a thread, and all I'm clinging to is prayers. And every breath is like a battle, I feel like I ain't come prepared.
and death's knocking on the front door. Pain's creeping through the back, fear's crawling through the windows, waiting for them to attack. They say don't get bitter, get better. I'm working on switching them letters, but tell God I'ma need a whole lot of hope keeping it together. I'm smiling in everyone's face, I'm crying whenever they leave the room. They don't know the battle I face, they don't understand what I'm going through. The world trying to play with my soul, I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way, I'm trying to get back to my home, but I can't do this on my own. That's why I'm just trusting in you, cause I don't know where else to go, and I don't know what else to do.
Fight a little longer, my friend, it's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend, it's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. You. Hold on and I'll find you. I'll find you. I'll find you. Hold on and I'll find you.
They say fear haunts and pain hates. I say pain strengthens and fear drives fate. And I don't know all of the outcomes, don't know what happens tomorrow. But when that ocean of doubt comes, don't let me drown in my sorrow. And don't let me stay at the bottom, I feel like this hole is too deep to climb. I've been looking for a way out, but I settle for a peace of mind. Picking up the pieces of my life and hoping that I put together something right. Tell me all I got is all I need, tell me you gon' help me stay and fight.
The world trying to play with my soul, I'm just trying to find where to go. I'm trying to remember the way, I'm trying to get back to my home. But I can't do this on my own, that's why I'm just trusting in you. Cause I don't know where else to go, and I don't know what else to do.
No, don't let the fear make you feel like you can't fight this on your own. You know I'll be there for you no matter where you go. You'll never be alone, no. Fight a little longer, my friend, it's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to, just hold on and I'll find you. Just fight a little longer, my friend, it's all worth it in the end. But when you got nobody to turn to,
wow, the world's trying to play with my soul. That's so deep. I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to serve. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, there's none like you. We lift your holy name and we're grateful for your peace and power, grace and mercy. We're grateful for every miraculous work you have done and will do. We stand before you, trusting that you will come through for us the way you always do. We praise you and love you and thank you for giving us free will and then working our poor choices into goodness. We are grateful that we serve a loving, compassionate, faithful, forgiving God that hears and listens and answers and is able and who is bigger than all our problems. We thank you for your healing power. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and for handfuls of purpose. We thank you for battles you fought and won for us without us even knowing about it. We thank you for the miracle of sleeping and waking up, for praying grandmothers, for every kindness, for this moment to worship you, for treasures in heaven, for all the blessings, all the provisions, and every answered prayer. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your armor. Thank you for victory over spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you for lessons learned and for every problem you have allowed into our lives to teach us and to mold us into vessels you can use. Thank you for the solutions you planned before the situation. Thank you for every hand that helps to produce this worship service and each person listening. We admit that we fall short every single day, that if we say we don't sin, we're lying. Thank you for your patience with us every time that we have missed the mark. We are sorry for the days we got ourselves in messes and then blamed you. We confess our sins to you, Lord, and we thank you for sending your son Jesus to volunteer to take our punishment. With Jesus as our example, we also forgive those who have wronged us, releasing all bitterness and resentment. Releasing all bitterness and resentment. Releasing all bitterness and resentment. We ask that you send the perfect worker to cross the path of all those who are lost, to give them a new understanding of you so they will accept your free gift of salvation. We ask that you cause us all to be sensitive to hear your voice and quick to do whatever you ask us to do, Lord. We ask that you give each of us a double portion of wisdom and discernment and deliver us from a spirit of poverty. We ask that you embarrass our spiritual enemies and shut every evil door the enemy has opened. We ask that you restore everything that the enemy has stolen from us 100-fold. We ask that you let every struggle turn into testimonies of your greatness. We ask that you heal every kind of sickness. We ask that you draw closer to all the prisoners. Let your spirit bring them peace and give them hope of a new life in you. We ask that you comfort the bereaved, the grieving, and the brokenhearted. We put them and any member of the church we haven't seen in a while, and all our loved ones, and every person, system, and country on our prayer list. We put them all on the altar and lift them all up to you. And we ask that you heal, bless, and keep, comfort, and deliver them. We pray that you keep them safe from the enemy's schemes and let peace rule in their hearts. We ask that your will be done in each of our lives and that you open all of our eyes by divine revelation to see the solution to every nagging and unpleasant situation. We ask that you bless the preacher to give a message that feeds our inner man and causes us to grow up in you. We ask that you give each of us another new revelation and another new understanding of you and the wisdom to do the thing you put us here to do in a way that pleases you. We stand on your word, and we trust you to handle these requests. Dear Lord, we say yes to your ways and your plans for our lives. We acknowledge that you are the knower of all things and that you know us better than we know ourselves. So the best choice we could make is to let you be our guide. We invite you to show us the way. We ask for all these things with thanksgiving, and we receive our help in Jesus' mighty, holy, and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we say yes. Power in prayer. We just thank you. Thank you, Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you, and have a beautiful day. Amen.
Me too.
Amen. All right. I'm truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to just say thank you. Thank you. Hey, happy anniversary, Runner for Christ Ministries, for 21 years of service to the Lord. And we just want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Be the reason someone smiled today. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. So the next voice you will hear following this next song selection is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Let's prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate as he comes in his own way with the word from the Lord. So let's receive him with a warm and open heart. Amen.
Couldn't get no rest and couldn't see no end in sight. I needed God to pull me through, someone to show me what to do. Tired of being blue, yeah, yeah. Circumstances filled my life with such regret. And every time I turned around, trying to get my feet back on the ground, many tears I had to cry. Sometimes it felt like I could die, yeah. Somebody tell me why, Lord, you.
Thank you for who you are and what you do. I thank you for your love, your faithfulness, your kindness, your patience with us, Lord. Thank you also, Lord, for your instruction and for the peace that surpasses all understanding. thank you for working things out that, truthfully, Lord, we can't work out by ourselves. And you've already played things out and paths made straight for us. But help us to adhere to your word today, throughout the day, not just during service, but throughout our lives, Lord, that we would try to keep you first and pump you up into that number one position in our lives. Lord, we admit that we haven't gotten it right. We confess all our sins before you, and we ask for forgiveness of those sins, Lord, and that you will continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters all around the world. My name is Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, and I will be sharing the word this morning that the Lord provided. First off, I want to say thank you for each and every one of you, for your prayers and for your encouragement during time of my extended family member passing on, Mr. Robert Brown, which is my son's grandfather and a strong father figure to me and my son. So keep the Brown family in your prayers. And I also want to thank Associate Pastor Terrence Tate for being flexible enough to step in and be able to share a word last week and being willing to do so. So shout out to you, Brother Cousin, and thank you, Pastor O, for giving us permission to do that in my absence. Hey, man, I wanted to share the word from Exodus chapter 20. And I will be reading verses 1 through 5 from the New Living Translation. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 5 from the New Living Translation. And it says, then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other God. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his word. Verse 1 says, then God gave the people all these instructions. So this is a familiar passage for some. What it is God is giving instructions or laying down the law for the children of Israel, who he's rescued recently at that time from slavery in Egypt. And it's important for us to understand that when God gives instructions, one, he's qualified to give those instructions because he's the supreme authority, period, sovereign God. And then two, these are impossible instructions. When God gives instructions, he gives them to people who are capable of carrying out those instructions. And I hope that you glean from that when the Lord tells you to do something, you're capable of doing it. It's not impossible. You know, truly everything is possible through God. But the Lord has equipped you. When he gives you certain instructions or certain callings on your life, he's already equipped you before you were born. I love the passage where it talks about, before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. So when you existed just as a spirit before the Lord planted you inside your mother's womb, he knew everything about you. He had equipped you. He had given you everything you had needed to carry out his mission and his instructions. Amen? Amen. Verse 2 says, I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. The Lord is reminding them that I'm the one who rescued you from Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And I think that sometimes, well, I know sometimes for me, I can speak freely for myself. Sometimes I forget that the Lord, my God, rescued me, delivered me, encouraged me, kept me, secured me, saved me. Sometimes I forget when I'm facing things that are truly minute in the grand scheme of things, but seem like giants to me. And I need to be reminded as well, you know, I think sometimes people think that, you know, preachers are superhuman or they don't have problems or they don't have the issues of life that everyone else has. But we're human just like anybody else. We have problems just like anybody else. And a lot of times people share their problems with you because you're a preacher. Because you have to develop good listening skills over time. And I'm laughing because, you know, I walk in rooms sometimes and I feel like the Lord has a sign on me that says, hey, he's a good listener. Talk to him, you know. And I know Pastor O has shared many times where he feels like the Lord has highlighted him in a room like, hey, he's a preacher. Go talk to him. So I understand, Pastor. Oh, I really do. And sometimes I do mind, sometimes I don't. So I'm just being honest. But the Lord, your God, rescued you and kept you. It wasn't because of anyone else or anything else. You know, I've learned that I have to give credit where it's due. And the ultimate credit for my deliverance, for my salvation, for me making it from last night to today, is all because the Lord kept me and delivered me, rescued me time and time again. Where it talks about here from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery, for us, you know, our slavery or our alliance, you know, our problems are rooted in sin. But thanks be to Jesus, our elder brother, for us who are saved, we are no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness, to the Lord. And I know slavery has a negative connotation, but the reality is we belong to the Lord. We were bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Verse 3 says, you must not have any other God but me. Read that again. You must not have any other God but me. That is so plain, yet so complicated, because we make it complicated. Because, tell that lie, I'm giving honor to God, who's truly the head of my life. And all I want people to do is just say, add sometimes to the end of that sentence. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, sometimes. Because it depends on what we're going through. It depends on how we feel when God is the head of our lives. Sometimes. You must not have any other God but me. Verse, God is low, the G in God is lowercase. What we try to do is we pump up those lowercase gods into the number one spot as God. Only God deserves to be truly the head of your life. Yes, sometimes God is the head of my life. I can boldly admit that because sometimes I'm the head of my life. Sometimes money is the head of my life. Sometimes work is the head of my life. Sometimes my children are ahead of my life. It just depends on the day. Now, me and the Lord have been working. Well, the Lord has been working on me. I've been trying to be obedient. You know, for me to acknowledge him day by day throughout the day as the head of my life, which means that I have to subject myself to him, under his rule and authority. Now, you can think that you run the show. You can think that your money will save you. You can think that your job keeps you. It's not. You're nothing without the Lord. Just share with people, if he kept your next breath, you're over. You're deceased. It's a wrap. But the Lord cares about you. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to thrive. But you have to do it his way. A lot of times we get in our own way because we get the can't help us and we want to make something happen. And we don't want to be patient. God's timing is always perfect. A lot of times the reason why we can't get prayers answered or get breakthroughs or experience relief in certain situations is because we get in the way. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to hold your hand. Lord, I'm going to be obedient to you because you are the number one person in my life. I don't need anyone else or anything else before you. I need you in the number one spot. Everyone and everything else is secondary. So verse 3 says, you must not have any other God but me. Verse 4 goes on to explain, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. Now, back in those days, you know, people actually made idols and created for themselves little gods. You know, or, I mean, it could have been something that the Lord actually made that they worshiped, whether it was a tree or, you know, a piece of gold or silver or, you know, a certain stone, a precious metal, a jewel. Like, people worship those things even to this day. So it's easy for us to look at the Israelites and be like, man, they were jacked up. Look in the mirror. We're just as jacked up as they are. You know, you got people worshiping jewelry. You got people worshiping cars, houses. So we still do it. We still do. And what we have to understand is that God is God. God made all of the stuff. God made all of us. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, present everywhere. God deserves the credit for everything, including your success, your achievements, the fact that you could physically get out of bed this morning. Your alarm clock didn't wake you up. I often joke with my peers and my family members, I wake up way before the alarm clock sometimes. And as I've gotten older, usually it's because I got to go to the bathroom. But the reality is, God deserves the credit for everything. God is responsible for everything. We got the easy part of it. If he just asked you to plant a seed, if he asked you to, hey, remember me, I'm number one in your life. I deserve that spot. Because without me, you're nothing. You don't even exist. We can't exist without God. The world can't exist without God. As fast as the earth is spinning on its axis, tilted, it's only by the grace of God that we aren't flying off the planet. Planets aren't colliding into each other. And the sun isn't cooking us. We worry about some of the most stupidest stuff. And I know that's not a nice word, but it's just a reality. We worry about, oh, if such and such become the president. Oh, if, you know, it's going to be a civil war. Oh, you know, the economy is going to crash. The stock market is going to do this. All throughout history, before any of us were born, God was in control. And even to this day, God is in control. So it doesn't make sense to worship people, things, yourself. Put God in the number one spot. Because truthfully, if I could be frank with you, he's already in the number one spot, whether you have him there or not, because he runs the show. We think all hell is broken loose on earth. God still runs the show. God allows certain things to grab our attention because the Bible does promise that, hey, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Don't think that because, you know, you have a relationship with the Lord that everything is going to be on easy street. It's not the case. Jesus had difficulty in trials and tribulations. His response was perfect because he was free from sin. But he had troubles. Jesus didn't live in the mansion and wasn't the pastor of a mega church, drove a Bentley. Technically, Jesus was homeless. He preached where he could. We would call it couch surfing. He would sleep at different people's houses when he visited certain towns. And he walked most of the places he traveled. Think about that. Verse 5 says, you must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, the entire family is affected. Even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. We try to play God like he's soft. We try to play God like he's not the boss. Play him as, you know, that's just the big guy upstairs. He understands my struggles. The Lord is holy. The Lord is jealous. He doesn't want anybody or anything else in that spot. I run the show. And the thing is that when you think about it, the Lord has done everything for you. Take it personal. When you look around, even if your situation is dire and you have some frustrations, let's be honest. A lot of troubles that we get off into is by choice. It wasn't because the Lord shot it your way or allowed it to happen. The reality is that we got free will and we chose to go left when the Lord said keep straight. And now you have to deal with the consequences of that. But the reality is, the Lord is not going to tolerate our affection or our fondness towards other gods. The Lord, in the Word, has destroyed idols. He's destroyed people that have rejected him. And the ultimate destruction for those, the eternal destruction for those who reject him is hell. But I understand better and better why the Lord is grieved by sin and why he wants us to flourish, because the whole system was set up for us to win. We choose to lose. We choose to engage in deadly living. And the Lord is like, man, I just wish you would tap into your relationship with me, because I just want you to be in relationship with me. That's why he gave us free will, so that we can choose to love him and relate with him, to yearn intensely after him, because he set everything up for us to win and for us to flourish with him. But verse 5 goes on to say, I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. So if you don't want to get it right for you, think about the generations after you. Think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Think about your great-grandchildren. I know people believe that, you know, the end is tomorrow. But the truth of the matter is we don't know when Jesus is coming back for us. It could be 40, 50, 100 years from now. Do we know we're in the last days? Absolutely, because if you read the word and you look at the events and everything, but we've been in the last days. Even before any of us were born, the clock has been ticking and it's been going steadily in the direction of headed toward the end. But think about what legacy you will leave in terms of breaking strongholds and generational curses because of our rejection of the Lord. He said it. I'll lay the sins of the parents on the children into the third and fourth generations. I've had the opportunity and the blessing to grow up with both sets of my maternal great-grandparents. And I remember when my cousin Melanie had a daughter, and she was over to see my great-grandmother, Sarah. And she said, this is my fifth generation. And I was like, it blew my mind because, you know, I was an adult at the time. And I was like, wow, like, she's actually been able to lay her hands on her fifth generation, you know. And I grew up next door to my great-grandmother, and that was my girl, still my girl, because I know she's up there in glory. But the truth of the matter is we could live to see that if the Lord allows the clock to continue to tick. And I want to leave a legacy where my sons understand that, and not just my sons, but whether it's my little cousins or, you know, a neighbor, a friend, whatever. I want them to say that this brother always tried to serve folks. He always tried to live a life that was decent. Like he was a good man. He was a man that loved the Lord. He was a man that read the word, and he shared the word, and he taught the word. He was someone that was a cheerful giver. He was someone who prayed for the sick and gave clothes to the naked and thought about those who were in prison and kept in touch with them, you know. And I want that to be a part of my legacy for serving the Lord. And I want people to say he tried to live a life that was appealing so that people would draw closer to the Lord. That's what I want people to say generations down the road, or when I have to meet my day, if I leave here before the rapture. I want the Lord to be the number one person in my life. Not just sometimes, all the time. as I come to a close, let's look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. And it says, Leviticus 20, 26, "You must be holy because I, the Lord, am holy. I have set you apart from all other people to be my very own." I have set you apart from all other people to be my very own. You don't belong to you. You belong to the Lord. Now, for those who aren't saved, you're going to hell. I can't say it any plainer than that. Satan runs the show and tells you what to do, along with your free will, with your choices. And Jesus came so that you wouldn't have to be subjected to sin in terms of being a slave to sin or being spending eternity in hell. And if you believe that Jesus died and he rose from the dead to pay for all of your sins, that's just part of it. Because it happens, whether you believe it or not. Historically, Jesus walked the earth. He died on the cross, and he had an empty tomb, and he rose from the dead. And people saw him. They have plenty of witnesses. So it happened. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in the place of honor, interceding for those who are saved. And I'm so thankful. But if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay for your sins, that's part of it. The second part is just inviting him into your heart and life. He's a gentleman. The word says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, open the door and let him in." I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of the verse. Jesus is waiting on you. He's knocking at the door. Tomorrow ain't promised. But if you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay for your sins, you can just repeat after me in prayer and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm an admitted sinner. I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay for all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." If you believed and you prayed that prayer genuinely, and only you know that, then you're saved. You belong to the Lord. You will spend eternity in his presence. Now, to further your walk with the Lord, you have to get into his word. So you have to get with a good Bible-based church. And I say Bible-based because that's the book, that's the document that helps us and further our relationship with the Lord, because it's his word, it's God's word. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, I formally invite you to Running for Christ Ministries in Ecorse, Michigan, and welcome to the family. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for the reminder that we need to keep you in the number one spot, and you need to be the head of our lives all the time. Help us to minimize our distractions and those little gods that get in the way of our relationship with you. And help us not to engage in deadly living, but in righteous living. Help our thoughts and our ways to become more like yours, as your word says. Create in us, Lord, a clean heart and a right way of living, so that we can follow you and commune with you every day, all day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I thought Pastor was going to have a musical interlude, and he didn't. Kind of threw me off there. All right, well, amen. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for the word that you brought to us today. Again, a reminder word that God needs to be first. you know, it's very easy in this life to get distracted. You know, you wake up in the morning, as soon as you realize you're on this side of life, you know, sometimes you forget to say, thank you, Jesus. Like, if you're, I can't find my regular noise cancellation earbuds today. I don't know if they walked away or not, but if y'all hear the birds chirping, like, they are on 10,000 every single day. And outside my window every morning at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I mean, they are on chirp mode, super loud. And they'll wake me up. And the first thing I'll be is irritated because they are so loud and it's so early. But then I realize, oh, Jesus, I'm alive. Praise God. Not only am I alive, but I can hear, okay? My senses are still working. You know, so it's just those little things that we tend to take, you know, for granted, and it's easy for us to get distracted, but keeping God first is essential. It's absolutely essential. The enemy is going to throw at us everything but God. But we have to keep, like Pastor Jonathan always says, you got to keep the main thing the main thing. And when you're looking at the big picture, the main thing is God. And so, again, we just thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for that reminder word to keep God first in everything that we do and do not allow the distractions to get in the way of what we have to do while we are here. Amen. So, once again, thank you so much for the time and the word that you brought to us. We will continue to keep you and your family lifted in prayer in the loss of John John's grandfather. So just once again, thank you. So happy Saturday, y'all. I think it's like, what, the second Saturday in April? If not, it don't matter. It's a Saturday no matter what. So just by way of announcement, I feel like we missed last Saturday. I think Blog Talk was having an issue last Saturday, so I feel like I haven't been on here in a minute, but I think it was just last Saturday. But nevertheless, first Saturday, second Saturday is Saturday. Amen. So just by way of a couple of announcements, you know that our Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. in person. Our teacher is Pastor Janice Tate. And then you know that we have our Sunday worship service that begins at 10 a.m. and the praise team will lead us in our worship service. And we invite everyone out to join us in celebrating our 21st church anniversary. Happy anniversary, Run for Christ Ministries, 21 years. Okay, I am pretty sure when the Lord came to Pastor O and talked to him about starting up a church, Pastor O could not see 21 years down the line, but God could. Amen. And so here we are 21 years later, and we can reflect back on the last 21 years and to just give thanks to God for so much that he's done. I have had the pleasure of being part of Run for Christ Ministry coming up on 15 years. And so it's truly been a pleasure. So I hate that I missed those first couple years, but God knew he brought me right at the right time. And we're going strong 21 years later. And so we thank God for everything that he's done and everything that he is doing right now and everything that he will do that we don't see, but he already knows. Amen. So we want you to come on out and celebrate with us for our 21 years as a church family. Amen. And so, of course, we're celebrating all month long. Pastor O is going to be bringing the word, which is our theme entitled Continuing in the Word. Amen. So we are located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Again, Sunday school begins at 9 a.m. We transition to our Sunday worship service at 10 a.m. We're celebrating 21 years as a church family. So please, please, please come on out and celebrate with us. Amen. Amen. So Mondays, you know that we do have our new Bible class happening. We are going into week 3 this week of the Bible, God's Word to Us, which is taught by Pastor O. So it's at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. It's a 5-week class. You only got a couple more weeks left. The questions are online, and they're always available on the back table on Sundays if you're in person. Also, don't forget about Minister Lachelle Anderson's Blog Talk Radio show called Street Love, which also happens on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. So you can go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on Christian Resources for more information. Again, you do need the book to participate in Pastor O's Bible class. So if you need the book, you need to go to our church website, rfcm.org, and reach out to Pastor O so you can get the book, or he'll let you know how you can get the book. Amen. Tuesdays, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is teaching on Blog Talk Radio Training Day. So get in on that. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., we have our Bible class, which is taught here on Blog Talk Radio. This week, our teacher is Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, and she will be teaching the lesson entitled Jesus' First Miracle. So again, if you need the book, go to our church website, rfcm.org. Let Pastor know, and he'll tell you what you need to do to get one. Fridays at 7 p.m., Bring Back the Family is here on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. So get in on that. And then we get back to Saturday, and then we have our Saturday worship service at 10 a.m. If you care about who's preaching, you can go to our church website, rfcm.org. But as we all know, life be lifing, okay? So you might see that schedule and be like, ooh, I'm going to call in every second Saturday of the month and listen because my preacher is there. Well, we learned a couple weeks ago that the preacher who was supposed to preach that day did not preach, and Pastor O had to get in and do an ad hoc sermon. Amen. So you don't have to bank on that. You just need to call in and listen. You're going to be blessed no matter what, whether it's from the music that you hear, the declaration that's read at the beginning, altar call that you hear, scripture and prayer, the sermon, the announcement, whatever it is that you get when you listen, you should be getting blessed no matter what. So the preacher doesn't matter. Just call and tune in. Amen. That's what matters the most. All right. So remember that everything that we do here, all of our classes and our services on Blog Talk Radio, recorded, archived, and absolutely free. We have been in Blog Talk Radio for quite some years now, and it's still free. Look at God. Amen. Won't he do it? Still free. All of this content, all of this good stuff for free. Amen. And so go to our church website, rfcm.org. Check out the information. You got jobs, books, resources, all types of stuff, again, available for free. I always say use it for yourself as you need it, but make sure that you are sharing it with others because you never know what people might need, and you don't want to keep the information to yourself when you could be low-key blessing somebody without even knowing it and earning yourself treasure in heaven. Amen? As far as tithes and offerings go, if you want to give your offering online, please visit the church website, again, rfcm.org, click tithes and offerings, and you can give it. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, who brought the message today, feel free to go to our church website, give there, making sure to specify that it was for Pastor Jonathan Tate who preached on today's Saturday worship service, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. And so thank you, and God bless you in advance for sharing with us and with those we help. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. And so again, your eternal life in heaven, okay, we need to make that clear because hell is a real place. And there's no way to sugarcoat it at this point. There should be no sugarcoating. We are way too far gone, way too far past still needing to sugarcoat whether heaven and hell exist. Okay? Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. And if you do not belong to Jesus, you are automatically playing for the opposite team, whether you chose to play or not. Okay, there's no gray area. You either on this side of right or you on the wrong side of it. Amen. So eternal life in heaven hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. How simple is that? There is no relationship with the Father without the Son, and there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit, our counselor, our guide, our constant companion that's with us, okay, without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So if you have no Holy Spirit, guess what? You have no power. So like Pastor always tells us, it's like you shooting the gun, but it don't have no bullets. Okay? You have no power. You're trying to change the TV with the remote, but the remote has no batteries. And now, if you got a flat screen, you can't go up to the TV and change the channel because we know our TVs don't work like that anymore. So you got no batteries, you got no power. You got no Holy Spirit, you got no power. Okay? So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. Amen? In Jerusalem, which is your immediate household today, your kids, your husband, your spouse, your people who come to your crib, Judea, your community, your grocery stores, your schools, your libraries, your whatever you do in your local community, Samaria, outside of your comfort zone, to people and places where you normally wouldn't associate with or go to. You know, you're like, I might go over there because they got something on sale. You got to take the word over there too, okay? And to the ends of the earth. These are people and places you will never be around, never go to. Nope, not this life or the next. Amen. But they need the word of God as well. And so it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. No souls are left behind. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. But we know that, unfortunately, some will end up there in eternal torment. And you get there, you punch your ticket by not accepting Jesus Christ. Amen. This life is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I, am going away to prepare a place for you. Now, we know the Lord is not a liar, okay? So if he couldn't do it or wasn't going to do it, it's like no April Fool's prank. Like, he wouldn't have said it if it wasn't happening, okay? I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. But guess what? If your name isn't written in the book of life, if you haven't accepted Christ before you get to the other side of your breath, your last breath, yeah, he's not coming back to get you. You don't get to be with him where he is. And I'm sorry. I don't know about you, but if we already think that what we live in is hell on earth, I don't really want to know or be a part of what hell really is, okay? So you need to make your election sure, and Jesus is who you need to choose, amen? So we just want to continue to ask for prayers for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Please continue to pray for Keila Freeman, who has had another surgery, but praise God she is home recuperating. Our favorite president, amen, President Sharon Abraham. Continue to pray for Deacon Charles Mackey, as well as his mother, because I know, you know, we know that he is her caretaker in a lot of things. So give him strength, because caretaking of any kind is not an easy thing. Continue to pray for all of our mothers that run for Christ Ministries, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia, Mother Cheryl, Mother Irma. Amen. Continue to pray for Deaconess Naomi Carter, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gaston, Darius Freeman, all of our pastors, our students, our parents, children everywhere, our government leaders. Those who are sick and shut in, whether they're at home sick or in the hospital sick or in hospice sick, don't matter where they're sick, okay, continue to pray for them. Amen. Please, please pray again for all of those who are unsaved, that they may come to know the love of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice made for them to have eternal life with him. Continue to pray that those in the body of Christ be witnesses for the Lord in the way that we live, in the way that we show love to one another. Remember, you may be the only Jesus that people see. So make sure to represent Jesus accordingly. We are to reflect the Lord out onto others, okay? That is our Holy Spirit. We are to be reflecting Jesus. So just like your parents may tell you or used to tell you when you were a kid, don't go in there embarrassing me, okay? We should not be down here embarrassing Jesus, claiming to be a child of his and acting the complete opposite. Amen. We're supposed to be drawing people to the Lord, not pushing people away. Amen. Continue to pray for all those who are bereaved, mourning, and grieving all over the world. We do ask special prayers for our very own Deaconess Lisa and Deaconess Anita. We know that they are cousins, and we ask that you pray for them and their family in the loss of their aunt. Amen. And again, also continue to pray for Pastor Jonathan and his son John, and I believe, I'm horrible with names, I'm sorry, but I believe Pastor Jonathan said the Brown family in the loss of John's grandfather. So please, please keep them all lifted up in your prayers. Amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world. Again, it's a new month, the month of April. So happy, happy birthday to you if you celebrated this past week, or if you're celebrating today, or actually today's like the 13th. So if you celebrated from the 1st up until today, amen, happy birthday to you. I always only have one birthday on my list for Run for Christ Ministries, and it goes to Nedra, all right? Nedra, she celebrates her birthday or celebrated her birthday on the 12th, which was yesterday, and she's the only April birthday I have, so she gets shouted out all month long by herself. She gets all the shine, amen. So happy, happy birthday to Neja, who celebrated her birthday on the 12th. Amen. And lastly is your devotional, and it is entitled The Cowardly Lion, and this is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. Y'all already know what's up with his devotionals. I get them. I love them, and that is why I share them. Amen? So read as follows. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That's Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Growing up as a kid, one of our favorite family movies was The Wizard of Oz. And I ain't going to lie, that's still like one of my favorites. When it comes on, like on TBS, it's like a 24-hour marathon. I watch it every single time like I've never seen it before. I know it verbatim, amen. If you remember the story, you know that Dorothy and her dog Toto were taken by a tornado into another world, a world with witches, munchkins, wizards, and interesting friends. On her trip down the Yellow Brick Road, Dorothy befriended the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion. All of them needed something from the Wizard of Oz. Dorothy needed to get home to Kansas. The Scarecrow needed a brain, the Tin Man needed a heart, and the Cowardly Lion needed what many Christians need today, courage. The Cowardly Lion was an oxymoron. Lions are courageous, not cowardly. The Bible tells us that a lion is mighty among beasts and do not retreat before any. That's Proverbs chapter 30, verse 30. God's people are to be bold as a lion as we stand up and speak up for Jesus. Cowardice is a mark of an unbeliever and the first category of sinners mentioned as being in hell. And you can see Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 for that. So our world today, I believe that any honest, objective person would look at the landscape of the world today and conclude that we are in serious trouble. Objective truth has been replaced with subjective fantasy. Biblical morality, common sense, and basic decency have been tossed to the garbage. Anger, hatred, violence, selfishness, lying, the love of self, and the love of money seem to rule the day. Far too often, Christians are too timid to stand up and speak up in their communities, their schools, their places of business, and the public square. To make matters worse, many pastors are too fearful and faithless to speak the truth in love, even in the church. Many pastors preach unbiblical sermons that present a false Christ, one who exists to approve and support us regardless of our beliefs or practices. The word love has been hijacked by the culture to mean accepting and embracing of all sin and insanity. And if a person does not accept all sin and insanity, that person is a hater who knows not the way of Jesus. May God have mercy. Jesus and the early church. No one could have ever been more loving than Jesus. He is God in the flesh and love personified. That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. His love was and is real. He told people the truth in love, and they hated him for it. Jesus said to his half-brothers before their conversion, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it, that its deeds are evil." That's John chapter 7, verse 7. The moment that you shine the light of truth on the wickedness of men's hearts, that hatred spills out. Sinful men and women cannot stand being called hopeless, helpless sinners in desperate need of a Savior. But that is precisely who they are and who we were before we came to Jesus. The apostles were threatened by the religious leaders to speak no more in the name of Jesus. They politely and firmly refused to heed this command. Instead, they had a prayer meeting and asked the Lord for boldness to speak the word of God. See Acts chapter 4, verse 29 to 31. God immediately answered their request by shaking the place where they had gathered. This shaking was God's amen to their prayer. He has saved us and called us to be his witnesses. We cannot do this without his hand upon us and his spirit empowering us. The greatest among us have feet of clay and the tendency to retreat in the face of danger. Without him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do all things. So, from cowardly to courageous, have you been more like the cowardly lion than you care to admit? Have you been going along just to get along, failing to speak up for the fear of consequences. What is the way to stand strong for Jesus in this evil age in which we live? We need to remember who we are, whose we are, and why we are on the earth to be his witnesses. We need to pray for boldness and remind ourselves daily of the words Paul gave to fearful Timothy. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of discipline or self-control. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. If you know Jesus, you are a lion for the Lord. May your boldness be contagious as you speak the truth in love and leave the results with God. Ooh, that's a good one, y'all. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements. Mm-hmm. Amen. That was good. Praise God.
Sermon and Bible class, praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise Jesus. You missed the sermon and Bible class part, right?
Amen.
Oh, God Almighty. This has been a good Saturday, a real good Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, amen. A reminder to keep God first. Amen. And a reminder to be a witness. It's like, Crystal, it's like we become everything else but that.
Everything.
And we do everything else but keep God first.
Yes, we do.
Like I heard Jonathan saying, sometimes it's my kids, sometimes it's my
yard,
sometimes
we're
it's just anything.
anything. We're all guilty of it every single day from the moment our eyes open up. I'm telling you, the birds be making me mad. I'm like, yo, but then I forget, be like, oh, Jesus, thank you, because I'm on this side of life. Now, can you tell your creation to be quiet for like 2 more hours so I can still sleep?
They get started early. I'm like,
ooh.
So y'all can't, y'all don't even wait for the light no more. They're like, dog, we ready to get up and go. God got blessings out there for us, and we going to get them.
Yes.
I'm like, Crystal, I told the little bird, did you just call me, dog? Like, what's up, homie? What? Step up.
Seriously.
He started scratching his little claws on the ground. I'm talking about, step up. You don't like
these birds are gangsters.
I'll fight a bird. Yeah, then he flew away. Yeah, he said, come on, give me.
Oh,
like,
God.
Yeah, they be playing with me. Anyway.
These birds are gangster, I'm telling you. They don't even care no more.
Birds. Telling me not to sing, that's what I do.
Man,
I don't
that's
care
what I
you
do.
Not to walk.
Wow, they are
Ooh,
off
Lord,
the chain.
Gangster birds, Chris, we got gangster
yes.
birds.
We do. But they're a reminder to us that they're out there.
Yeah.
They don't have Bible class. They don't have Bibles. They don't have to pray.
No.
But they're out there giving glory to God by doing what they're supposed to do and not complaining. We're the only ones who complain. We do everything but what we're supposed to do. Like you said, but the birds, they do what they're supposed to do. The trees,
yeah.
Everything does what they're supposed to do.
They
but we
give
fight
God
it.
Praise.
Yep, they
girl, it's like James Fortune. The birds be out here. Man, we sing a James Fortune song. We just out
yep.
here praising God. We
praising God. I'm telling you,
trusting
from
God.
The morning to the evening, I'm telling you.
So next time you hear a bird singing, this is a message for me and you from Jesus. He said, next time y'all hear a bird singing at 5 in the morning, this is what they saying. We just out here trusting God.
We just out here
Amen.
Trusting God. Amen. Amen. Well, can you trust God in another tree, please? I got two more hours before my alarm
go
off.
Down the block, cross the street, go over there. And, hey,
man,
I'm just sitting there trusting God for some more sleep. Amen.
Sweet.
Oh, okay,
Lord.
Crystal, let me
Amen.
Get out of here.
All right.
Thank
Amen.
You. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
God bless you. Tell me and we say what's up.
Okay, I sure will.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in. And, yes, come and celebrate with us. If you get a chance tomorrow or any time this month, come out as we celebrate what God has done through Running for Christ Ministries for, these 21 years. Amen. Running for Christ is truly only a church that makes disciples. That's all we do. We associate ourselves with ministries that do a whole lot of things that churches are not called to do. Churches are called to make disciples, so that's what we do. Ephesians 4 and Matthew 28, that's what Jesus told us, to teach those who come and join your church, your local organized congregation of baptized believers, teach them what I taught you. Amen. Want to thank God for Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for her word for us today. Amen. I mean, for getting all of these people together, today. And I want to thank Deacon Eric Reed for coming and doing the proclamation, the scripture, and the prayer. And want to thank Deaconess Rebecca Johnson and her kind husband, Edward, who allows her to serve. Amen. That takes time from him. Today's Saturday. It's, you know, it's off day. It's his time. But he allows her to come serve. Amen. And so we thank God for him as well. And for all of you who listen, and, of course, Crystal, I mean, she's in just a few minutes, she gives you a sermon, a Bible class, and announcements. I'm telling you, that is the deluxe meal. That's deluxe announcements. We're going to call it deluxe announcements. Amen. Praise God. And so come on out and celebrate with us and help us give some thanks to Jesus for doing his work through Running for Christ Ministries. Amen. Amen. So let us get this benediction now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And the whole church said, amen. And this is how you keep God first.
Have your way. You can have your way in me, yeah. Can I be transparent for the minute? Some of those rumors that you heard, I probably did it. I'm not a perfect man, I admit it. But it's covered by the blood, I've been forgiven. When I think of things I've done, I shake my head.
Seeing now, Lord, just have breathe.